So begin a study throughout the summer in this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. And as you have that open before you, join with me as we come to God asking for His blessing on His Word. Let's pray together. God, our Father, You spoke long ago to the prophets in many different ways, and You have spoken in these last days through Your Son. And Your Word continues to be proclaimed, Your Word that has been inscripturated here, even from the book of Hebrews, where we can learn so much on how to grow in our faith, how to be strengthened in our faith. And so we ask, Father, that You will accompany the preaching of Your Word by Your Holy Spirit, giving us the ears to hear it and the grace to grow by it. And so we pray Your blessing upon the reading, the preaching, and hearing of Your Word now, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, finishing at verse 3, just these first opening verses. Hear now God's Word. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. What is faith? Again, we're looking at faith this summer, as it is here, this chapter on faith, often called the Hall of Faith, speaking of many who are commended for their faith. But we also need to know that this word faith has many misconceptions, because for some, faith is a form of spirituality. We might say that I am a person of faith. Or for others, belief is believing that something's good is going to happen. And so the word of faith movement, that you name it, you claim it by faith. Or others will see faith as simply this blind leap into the dark. It's a crutch. None of these, of course, measure up to true biblical faith. What is faith, really? There is a book that's out called The Faith of Donald J. Trump, A Spiritual Biography. And this gives us an example of a person of faith, but doesn't appear to have biblical faith. Even though Donald Trump is socially conservative in many, many platforms and policies, we're very thankful for that. He's a member of a Presbyterian church, though a liberal Presbyterian church, a PCUSA. His faith, though that kind of faith that he has, could be very, very genuine, but it is in the power of positive thinking, a teaching that was started by a man called Norman Vincent Peale. That's where his faith is, in this positive thinking kind of faith. We could study U.S. presidents and prime ministers of people in leadership who have said that they are persons of faith, but we want to not judge their hearts, but to judge what they say by what is biblical faith. How do the scriptures define faith? And the opening verses of Hebrews informs us of what biblical faith is. We have a definition here in verse 1, and then in verse 2, examples of faith, and then in verse 3, an understanding of faith. So definition, examples, and understanding of faith. So first of all, in verse 1, the definition of faith. What is faith? Right here, definition. Faith is being sure, and I'll use several synonyms here, confidence, assurance, or conviction of what? Of what we hope for. That's the first part of a definition here of faith. The second part is this, is being certain or assured or have conviction or certainty of what we do not see. That's faith. It relates to hope and it relates to what we do not see. The word translated that's often used here, even both interchangeably, these two parts of the definition, is the word assurance. And that means confidence. A confidence that is in God who makes promises that will come to pass, even though we cannot see it. This is something in the future, and yet we have confidence by faith that it will come to pass. So biblical faith is not a vague hope that is based on wishful thinking, saying, I hope this will happen. That's not a faith. Or it's not a leap into the unknown where there are no facts there. It is a settled assurance in God, the God of the Bible, a God who is all-powerful, infinitely wise, and entirely trustworthy. Faith is then more than simply having theological an assent to theological points. It actually has action to it. It is active. Where faith is laying hold, you know, our hands, our eyes, our whole person is involved in faith with hope in God. In this very chapter, it says that Moses, in verse 17, sorry, Abraham, I have to look at the verse again. Anyways, where it says here, I think it was Moses. He saw him who was invisible. Seeing the invisible. Seeing what you do not see. So faith then means, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Why is that? Because since what is seen, all the things that we see with the naked eye is temporal. But the things that we see with the eyes of faith, the unseen things, are eternal. That's why Paul can write in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. Augustine has a great quote here. Faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of faith, can you imagine what the reward of faith is? Is to see what we believe. To finally, actually, eventually see it. When we live by faith now. But we do not see the reward of our faith if we do not continue in it. If we do not persevere in it. If we waver, doubting God and His promises that He is who He says He is in His Word, and that what He says He will do will happen, then that is not a faith that endures. We have circumstances in our lives that cause our faith to waver. We doubt. All of us do. We doubt. But we have to ask ourselves, what aspect of God's character and what are the promises that are revealed in Scripture that we are not believing in those circumstances? If you're afraid or you're anxious, or whatever that might be, what is it about God, who He is, and what He's promised that you are not believing? So take the Word up and believe. If we're instead, as I do sometimes, I brace myself for a possible disappointment, or if we have the attitude, expect the worst, and hope for the best, hopefully, then we're not acting with this kind of confidence of faith, of assurance, of certainty, of conviction in a God whose word is true. And throughout our study of Hebrews 11, we're going to see a very familiar refrain here. By faith. By faith. People who lived by faith. And we'll see biblical faith here. People who lived out their faith in many different circumstances, a variety of trials that they faced, but they responded to the Word of God, to God as He revealed Himself and His promises. They clung to those promises and has become examples for us. So that's the second point, verse 2. As an introduction to this whole chapter, are examples of faith. Verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. The word ancients actually means elders. Another translation says, for by it, that is, by their faith, the people of old gained their approval, or were pleasing to God. Again, this word, for by it, speaks of faith as a means, as an instrument, in which they then gained approval from God. And this approval, this being approved by God, is not on account of their faith. It's not based on their faith, but is the means by which they have been approved. Again, if we scroll down throughout this chapter, we read, by faith, by faith, by faith. It was the means in which God approved them, commended them. Each lived by faith. And some of you might be surprised at some of the names that are mentioned as examples of the faith. Like Samson. Samson, you wouldn't think, would not be in this list of those who live by faith. He was not a great example to our children, or to any of us, it seems. But through faith, he was commended by God. And as it says here, that some of them were declared righteous by their faith. Again, faith is that instrument, that means in which God approves or commends those who live by faith. And this list of examples is especially given. The original recipients of this letter were Hebrews, Jewish believers. And they have this list of people that they loved. These were the heroes of faith. People who lived by faith. And the reason why in Hebrews 11 we have this list is because we find in chapter 10, verse 39, that those who were struggling in their faith, they were doubting. And so the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 39, chapter 10, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Then we have the list in Hebrews 11, of those who live by faith. Those who did not shrink back, but those who believed and are saved. The Jewish believers received this letter and were encouraged by it not to turn back, not to drift in their faith, in their discouragement, or in the midst of the persecution. They were given these examples. They were examples for us as well. These were, as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, part of this great cloud of witnesses, people who are there, examples of faith, cheering on those who would come after. And even us, in the history of the church, we have so many examples of people who are part of this great cloud of witnesses. And one example of faith is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I just finished a biography of his, or I'm about to finish tonight. Truly, he was a hero of faith. Well before World War II began, as a German pastor, he was speaking against Hitler and the Nazi Party. He saw it coming. And when the war began to ravage Europe, he actually joined the conspiracy, a group of people who were conspiring to assassinate Hitler. And near the end of the war, he was in prison as a political prisoner. And a fellow prisoner described Bonhoeffer just a few days before he was executed, before Bonhoeffer was executed. And he records this. That Bonhoeffer always seemed to diffuse an atmosphere of happiness of joy in every smallest thing in life. A deep gratitude for the mere fact that he was alive. And his final words to his prisoner, he was being taken away to be executed. And he said to this fellow inmate, "This is the end. But for me, the beginning of life." This is an example of faith. A man who looked beyond his circumstances by faith, the things that were unseen, and he was approved by God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 describes this life of faith, of living by faith. Those words are there in Galatians 2:20. Do you know this verse? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That is our MO, our mode of operating is living by faith. Can you see Christ beyond your circumstances, beyond what is happening in your life now or will be happening? What do you see? You see an all-faithful, trustworthy, constant, reliable, dependable Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, beyond that? And if you do, whatever it is that you're going through, it will be seen as a momentary affliction. It will be seen that even if death, as it was for Bonhoeffer, was at the door, that was the beginning for him. It was just the beginning. That is by faith. So faith is not only seeing Christ beyond the circumstance as all in all, it's also living by faith. And as we look at verse 3, understanding that God is creator of all. So verse 3, the understanding of faith. Verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Let's wrap our minds around that. First of all, let me ask you a question. Did anyone witness the heavens and the earth being created? Job 38:4, God asked Job, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." There were no scientists there taking field notes, making observations of how God created the heavens and the earth. What we do have is God's testimony, his word. And the opening words of this book are, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the words here, "by faith we understand, by faith we perceive," that word "understand" means we perceive that the world was formed and fashioned by the Lord's command, by the word of God. So that the things that were seen, those things that were visible, that we see now in all creation, all these things were not made out of the things which are now, which are visible. And this is a doctrine that is called creatio ex nihilo. Creation out of nothing. To bring forth out of nothing. That's how God initially created the heavens and the earth. As you've, I'm sure, heard, scientists believe that there was a beginning to the universe. And they call this the Big Bang Theory, where all matter in the universe was concentrated in a single point, and it exploded. And that explosion continues to reverberate. And the universe, they say, is expanding from what they are observing, what we're observing. The question to them is, where did this unit come from, of matter come from? It is matter. They recognize there was a beginning, but they don't know where that came from, that matter. Genesis 1, verse 1 has the answer again. In the beginning, God. God was there, and he brought that matter that the scientists believe was there. The eternal God, from everlasting to everlasting, was there at the beginning. There was a beginning. And he spoke with his word into being, out of nothing, by the word of his power, all that we see. Did it make a big bang? Maybe. But he spoke. It was his word that brought it into being. Also, we learn about this beginning in John chapter 1, verse 1. Of a similar account of the beginning, but highlighting the work of Christ, the person and work of Christ, the Son of God in creation. In the beginning, what? Was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. I know that some of these kids can recite it in Greek. But he was in the beginning with God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there at the beginning. All things, now speaking of the Son, were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Again, some other verses here. Psalm 33, verse 6, speaking of the Word, how God spoke creation into being. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The starry host, by the breath of his mouth. Same chapter, verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. I'd like to make a short point here, because this doctrine of creation ex nihilo can be misunderstood, because that although the universe was created out of nothing, much of the contents of the universe were created out of material which God had previously created in day one. Example, on day six, Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth. So he used that matter to create. It was still creation, speaking it into being. And there are many other scriptures that speak of God as potter. And this idea of fashioning, of forming his creation. Isaiah 64:8, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Psalm 95:5, the sea is his, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Psalm 103:14. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So, God, who lived in eternity, eternity past, at the beginning, he spoke. Word of command, calling universe into being. That's when time began. That's when there was space and materials. And when he spoke, let there be light, day one, and began to form the creation. Like a potter who works with the clay, God used the materials he created to form creation. And again, it was by his word in the space of 6 days, and all very good, as we say in the catechism. By faith, we understand all of this. It is by faith. Augustine, another quote from him. Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. We will not understand everything about God's creation. We're still learning. We're all scientists. We're making observation. We're seeing the beauty of God's creation. But even as circumstances of our lives, we see the providence of God, God guiding our lives, we still do not fully understand. We live by faith, not by sight. But by faith, we can see. Even though what we see is through a glass dimly, we can see clearly, we still see. And one day, the reward of our faith will be 20/20 vision. We will see Him face to face. That is the reward of our faith. We will see Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are in our circumstances, guiding everything by the word of Your power, upholding all things in Your providence, and that in the midst of our circumstances, beyond our circumstances, we can see You by faith. Whatever cares we have, we cast them upon You. Whatever we will face in the future, we will live by faith and not by sight. And so we ask, Father, that You will strengthen our faith even as we come to this meal that You've prepared for that very purpose. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as we come to